Good morning. I'm Catherine Ahlquist. I'm the chair of the Sanctuary Steering Committee. When I brought up the suggestion at a Side with Love meeting that we should build a space for sanctuary here at First Unitarian, I had no idea how difficult a task it would be. Knowing the atmosphere in the United States was going to get increasingly hostile towards immigrants and wanting to do something to help, this seemed to be a small but significant way to make a difference. A committee of 9 people was formed who were determined to create a space where someone in danger of deportation would be able to seek safe shelter. Protected from ICE, they would be able to work towards citizenship or take the time needed to decide what their next move would be. As our current president started his term, we educated ourselves and the congregation, learning together what it would mean to hold someone in sanctuary. We spoke with people during coffee hour, finding out their concerns and doing our best to answer them. We held congregational conversations where people voiced their opinions about the idea of sanctuary. We discovered that there are those among us who are first or second generation Americans, some who are related to Holocaust survivors, some who left difficulties behind in other countries. Many people could relate to the complexities of immigration in very personal ways. In listening to the stories of our congregation, I marveled at the diversity and unity that exists here at First U. In April 2017, members of the First Unitarian Church of Providence voted overwhelmingly to become a sanctuary church. Now the work of this committee would really begin. Not only did we have to create a place where people could comfortably live, we needed a guide for how to do sanctuary. There was no book on how this could be done, no Google page for us to refer to. Fortunately, we had been in contact with a group in Massachusetts, the Cambridge Interfaith Sanctuary Coalition, who shared with us their guide for sanctuary. We used this as a template to help us develop our own manual and training guide. At the same time, we worked on getting the backing of the City of Providence. Mayor Elorza had already declared Providence a sanctuary city, so we knew that he would be on board, but the path to passing fire safety and zoning requirements was a long one. We were charting new territory, and some officials just couldn't get their head around what we were doing. It took 19 months, but at the end of that time, we had a sanctuary room, a manual, and trained volunteers ready to help us when needed. To our surprise, it was another 5 months before someone took up residence here in our church. On November 1st, 2018, we received a call from a family who needed our help. We met with them the following day and quickly accepted them into sanctuary. Most of their belongings were already packed in their car, and they were relieved when we told them that they could move in right away. What happened next was exactly what needed to happen. All those people we had spent months finding and training, people from this congregation, students from Brown University, Sisters of Mercy, people from other cities and congregations in Rhode Island and nearby Massachusetts, immediately rallied and responded to the call that help was needed. Volunteers drove the oldest child in our sanctuary family to pick up items from their apartment, shielding them from their abusive landlord. Word spread quickly, and people rallied to help our family move in, get settled, be fed, and feel at ease. There were 2 volunteers stationed in the atrium for 5-hour shifts during the day and overnight, ready to help and alert to anyone who entered the building. And this is where the most amazing part of the story happens to unfold. As we were building this sanctuary, we never thought about what it would mean to actually have someone here, how that would play out, how that would impact those who are helping. How can you predict such a thing? Very quickly, though, this community formed. There was a camaraderie amongst the hosts, people from all ages, from different backgrounds and communities, sitting together for hours at a time, talking, reading, just spending time together and getting to know one another. It was a beautiful thing. People looked forward to coming in for their shifts. They felt like they were doing something powerful, helping another human being in distress as they were doing it together. It was a beautiful spiritual connection. Our lovely sanctuary family stayed with us for 2 months before deciding to return to Mexico to rebuild their lives there. We were happy that they would be reunited as a family, even though we would miss them. As I left the building on Christmas Eve day to drive them to the airport, I said goodbye to the hosts who had spent the night keeping our family safe. It was a bittersweet goodbye. Our sanctuary family was going home and would be reunited with their father. Just like that, our parish house would return to its quiet, business-like atmosphere. No more piano ringing through the air as Danny practiced, or laughter from little Vicky echoing through the atrium. No Daisy stopping by to say hello, or the delicious aroma of freshly made tortillas and hot cocoa offered by a smiling and grateful Millie. The comfortable companionship of people chatting, sharing food, sitting in silence, reading together, studying together, sharing music, just a memory. But the knowledge of how we came together and made this happen, and the joy we found in helping others while creating a beautiful community will live on. And we know that this thing we have built, this sanctuary, will be ready should someone else need our help. We are a strong committee. We are made even stronger through working with the world outside our own church walls and knowing that together we can make amazing things happen. Please join me in singing the next two verses of our song. Our friend Daisy is in the United States, and she was going to come here this morning to be with us, but due to unforeseen circumstances, she didn't make it in this morning, I'm very sorry to say, but we're so glad that she's back in the United States for just a short visit. So instead of her words of gratitude, I'm going to read to you a poem that Millie left for us the day she left. It's dated today, December 24th. I wish that all of you know that you can see my eyes filled with joy and a new dawn of thanks to God and thanks for your support, which was an arm around us that day after day you searched for a way to have us feel like home. We will always remember you with love, and you are in our prayers. Thanks because here we learn to smile in the middle of sadness. Thanks for making our way easier. We are gone, but you are also still in our hearts.